Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our summer sermon series, Dream Big, Finish Strong, that is looking at the book of Revelation. Last week we got our first glimpse of heaven. We saw that God is on the throne and that Jesus is in control of the future. It's a beautiful and comforting image. This Sunday, we start looking at the fun chapters, but also the chapters that have confused so many people. We'll look at the first of the great sevens, the seven seals. It's important to know that when we read Revelation, it's not going in chronological order. You'll see familiar themes come up throughout the book. Revelation seems to circle back again and again to the same themes. This is not by accident. We also start to see a lot of numbers being used along with unusual imagery. Much of these images have their roots in the Old Testament. We'll point that out as we go along. No matter how bad things appear to be, we see God continually remind his people that they are safe, they are secure, and that they are victorious. We get another reminder about heaven in chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. We see a great multitude of people before God's throne and look at the message given to his people during times of great distress or tribulation. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We'll see those words again in chapters 21 and 22. For all of us, there are going to be seasons of great testing and tribulation. In the midst of that, God reminds us that we are his children, and there will be a day when all of this is over. What a day that will be. May you feel God's strength and endurance this week as you go through the trials of life. Thank you for listening.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will be glad and exalt you.
Pastor Cobb leads our children's time.
All right, this is a very special doll. It's not my doll, all right? It is a very special doll. This is baby Elsa, all right, from Frozen. She's got her little gown on, and when my granddaughter comes down, Baylor, she loves to play with baby Elsa. And when we take nap time or she goes to bed at night, she has to have baby Elsa with her, along with Belle, along with Mickey, along with Minnie, and any other doll that we have. It is a full house when she goes to bed, because why do you think she takes baby Elsa to bed with her? You guys think, do you know why she takes? Why is that? Yes, she feels more comfortable. She feels more safe with baby Elsa and all of her friends around. She brings it, makes her feel safe when she goes to bed. Do you guys have anything that you go to bed with at night? What do you have? Okay, a little bear. What else? Anybody else? What do you have?
Rainbow.
Rainbow unicorn? Is that right? Yes. Yeah, we know what those are. What about you?
I got a teddy bear.
You got a teddy bear? We have one. We call him Buttercup. My daughter Kelly has had Buttercup ever since she was a little baby, and we still have Buttercup. But we take that with us. Yes. Okay, very good, very good. Yes. You're brave enough now to raise your hand. Yes, she's going to wait for everybody else. Yes. Eight animals? Oh my good, how big a bed do you have in there, hon? How many pillows do you have? That's quite the question, too. I know a lot of people. Just two? All right. That's how come your animals can all fit in there. You have three? All right. Okay. Well, that gives us comfort. It makes us feel good. All right? But what we also see is that we can feel more comfortable and feel good when we realize that someone is always with us, okay? And we read about God and how beautiful it is and that God is in heaven, but it also tells us that when we pray, that our prayers go to heaven. So not a lot, you know, we don't have to also take our dolls with us when we go. We can take those things. They make us feel comfortable. But we can also know that when we pray, that we're also with God. And this is what it says about heaven. It said, John found himself before the throne of God. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. See, look how beautiful that is. Yeah, you see the angels? Yeah, 10,000 angels there in heaven. Lots of angels. And talked about how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is that when you pray, your prayers go right up here. It says that these ones that are holding, the angels are holding our prayers in bowls so that God can see them and hear them. And then it says, the one on the throne held a scroll covered with writing and sealed it with seven seals. And no one else could hold it but except him. Then John saw a lamb standing in the center of the throne, and the four beings and all the elders bowed down in praise and were joined by a multitude of angels and all the creatures in heaven and on earth. So we can always know that God is always with us, right along with baby Elsa and our bears and our unicorns. And the one way that we can feel close to Him and when we're afraid is that we pray to Him. And that's what we're going to do right now. So let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us comfort. You give us animals and You give us dolls to help us feel more comfortable. Those are ways for us just to feel that You're with us. But that when we pray and say, "Dear God, just be with me, I'm scared right now," we know that those prayers go right up there in front of His throne and that it gives us peace and makes us feel better. Thank You for all these little ones here. Thank You for their parents. Help them to feel Your peace and Your presence. Help them, guide them and protect them and look after them every day of our lives. We ask this all in Your name. Amen.
Beery has special music playing. He's got the whole world in his hands. David Gattermeyer reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon based on Revelation 4 and 5, Dream Big, Finish Strong, Look Who Is On Our Side.
The first lesson today is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations and thresholds shook as the voice of Him called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." The second lesson is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. As I looked, thrones were placed, and one that was Ancient of Days took his seat. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. This ends today's lessons.
Thank you, David. Thank you also, Lena. Did you notice what song we're singing at the end of church, our last hymn today? We're going to be singing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." We did not plan that, but so we expect you to come up and play along with Beth when it's time. No, we are continuing our look at the book of Revelation. And as we've talked about the last two Sundays, it is a book of victory. It is not a scary book. A lot of people look at Revelation and they think it's a scary book. It's only a scary book for non-Christians. It's only a scary book for people who've not put their faith in Jesus. But for the Christian, it's a book that, man, it tells us exactly what we've been studying the last two Sundays, that we are victorious. And this Sunday here, we're into the two chapters, chapters 4 and 5. We get our first glimpse of heaven. In the New Testament, we don't get a lot of glimpses. We get Paul said he got caught up into the third heaven, and it was so wonderful that he couldn't describe it. In fact, he was given a thorn in his flesh so he wouldn't become conceited, but he said how wonderful it is. But here we see in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, Revelation is a book of action. And when we look at that book, he was writing to a group of Christians, churches in that time that were being destroyed because of their faith. People were dying because of their faith. We see that in all parts of the world right now, that people are being persecuted and killed for their faith. The book of Revelation is one that we need to read regularly. Because, man, this world is depressing, isn't it? Whatever news channel you watch, they bring up the worst on what other side that they want to say bad things about. Whichever one you watch. But when we look here at chapters 4 and 5, we see that John gives us that glimpse of heaven. That encouragement why that we go through the things that we go through as Christians, the things that we sacrifice. Jesus tells us to be a disciple, that we've got to put him first, and everything that we have, we give to him so we can have the honor and the ability to experience his presence one day. We talked about last week about too many churches leave Jesus on the outside and that he's knocking on the door. And I noticed this morning that the image right here on this stained glass window is the one we talked about. Jesus standing at the door and knocking. See, Jesus isn't standing at the door and knocking. He's pounding on the door saying, hey, let me in. You guys think you can do it all on your own? He says, you need me. And that's a reminder of Revelation chapter 3. But the thing that's missing in our congregation, in a lot of churches, we will have images of Jesus on the cross, Jesus with the sheep, Jesus with the... Those are all great images. The one image that we don't have, and I wish this was like the Precious... How many people have been at the Precious Moments Chapel down in Carthage? I don't know how many people have been there. Of course, yeah, the whole row there has been there. If you've ever been there, he's got paintings all over the ceiling, alongside the walls. And I was at an antique place a few years ago, and I found a portrait of the one that he does of what heaven is going to look like. Because, see, he wants our eyes to go up. One of our sanctuary had those images that we're going to read in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, if we had them along our walls and along our ceiling. So our eyes looked up instead of looking at all the depressing things around, the things that want to make us doubt and the things that make us want to give up. Revelation chapters 4 and 5 reminds us who's on our side. The world thinks that they have all the control, that they have all the power, that they can make all the decisions and the votes. They can conquer countries with armies and power. What we're going to see here in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, we're going to see who's really in control and who really holds the future and what that means for you and me. Because he wants us to look up. Too many times we look down. We plod our heads. We keep our heads down. And we get discouraged. Man, it's discouraging. It's hot. No rain in our area. Man, the pastures and the crops, all the things are struggling. We've had a lot of loss in our community and in our church here recently. Man, it's discouraging. Then we get to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And look what the first words are. If you want to follow along with me, look what the first words are that he tells to John. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. That number 24, they could say, is the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, or is the 24 divisions of the priest. You need to have a little bit of understanding of the Old Testament to understand Revelation just a little bit, because it's connected to that. But he uses that imagery. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. We hear about that crown of righteousness awarded to those that have been faithful. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Remember, that number seven is perfection and completion. The Holy Spirit is there in all its glory. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass clear as crystal. We'll read about that later on in Revelation. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back, just like what David was reading in the book of Isaiah. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had the face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. He's using things to help us understand what he's seeing. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying. There's going to be over 20 hymns, 20 choruses we find in the book of Revelation. One thing that we are going to be doing in heaven is praising God. We're going to be worshiping here. Our lives are meant as a preparation for that. Our lives are to be worshiped right now, giving him praise and glory every day of our lives, thanking him for the breath that we have. And look what they say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give honor and glory and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things by your will. They were created to have their being." The scene that we see before us is kind of a close-up of heaven right now. He's going to broaden the picture a little bit to see all the other elements that are there. But right now we're focused on the throne. The throne is the symbol of power and authority. We have those 24 elders in their 24 thrones, and to show that they are there to help rule and enjoy the presence of God in heaven. But it lets us know that God is on the throne. All the powers of the world, all the powers that have come, all the powers that will come in the future, to think that they hold all the power, God lets us know that he is the one that is in control. My favorite verse from Isaiah, there's so many of them, but Isaiah 66:1, you know, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What kind of building are you going to build for me?" He lets us know that we may think that we own the power, that we are in charge of our lives, that God is the one that is on the throne, and that he is all powerful, and that he is worthy of praise. I tell people that if you're not wanting to praise and you don't get excited about worship when you walk into this building on Sundays or whenever time we worship, you're not going to enjoy heaven very much. Because when we bask in the glory of God and his majesty, and we lift our eyes up and we think about the time that when we're going to leave all these things of earth behind, and we see his glory and we see his power, we see that rainbow, we see that jasper, we see that emerald, we see all those things before us. We see the wonderfulness of God. And it lets us know that he's on the throne. But the thing is that we each have our own throne on our hearts. We each have control of our lives, and we can either say that we're driving the wheel or we're letting somebody else guide us. The question is God on the throne of your heart? Like the elders, even the ones that are sitting there around the throne, what do they do when they praise God? They take their crown off and they give it to him as a symbol that everything that we have, we owe to you. What are you holding on to that you're not giving to God? What things are you holding on to? Say, "No, you can have this. I'm going to keep this." We're going to read here in chapter 5 in just a few minutes that he demands everything that we have. And when we give him everything that we have, and we give him control of life, we give him the crown of our life, he gives us the privilege to be one day with him in his presence. So no matter what's happening in your life today, no matter what struggles are going, no matter what things are happening that are discouraging you, you can know one thing for sure. God is on the throne. And just for 10 seconds, I'm going to read that image one more time. "The one that sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow shone like an emerald encircled the throne. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. For one moment, just close your eyes, look up, and in your mind envision those two verses right there. The one sitting on the throne, the beauty, the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. The colors are vibrant and brilliant. The power is overwhelming. So anytime you're facing something that seems so dark that you can't overcome, put that image of Revelation chapter 4 in your mind and look who's on the throne, and it gives us the comfort and peace, just like the little dolls that our little ones take to bed, to let us know that he's in control. But then we come to chapter 5, and he lets us know that he's not only in control, but that he also holds our future in his hands. Look at chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, God himself. We're going to add another person to this image, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. Remember again, that number 7 is completely sealed. Nobody can undo it. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" In Roman times, if you had a will, they would seal it with 7 seals, and only someone official, the one that was reserved for it, could open that will. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals." Now the new character. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. I'm going to hold it there for a second. Jesus is referred to the Lamb of God from the very start of his ministry. There's not an actual lamb. It's Jesus standing there with the scars of what it took for him on the cross, the scars in his hands, the scars in his side. And he's standing there in all his brilliance, just like the transfiguration. But you can see those scars. And the 7 horns and the 7 eyes and the 7 spirits, horns represent power. Eyes represent knowledge. He's completely powerful, completely knowledgeable, has the Holy Spirit with him. He is the one that can open the scroll in verse 7. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. You want to go right now into the presence of God? Lift up a prayer from your heart to him right now. It goes right to his presence. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we approach his throne of grace in our times of need. And they sang a new song, the third one that we have. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them be a kingdom and priests to serve our God," or echoes of chapter 1. "And they will reign on the earth." And now we're going to widen the lens of the shot in the movie. It reminds me of the Field of Dreams at the very end when they say, you know, if you build it, they will come. And you look up in the darkness and you see the headlights of all these cars. And they keep going back farther and farther and farther. You see all these lights. In chapter 11, we see the immensity and the greatness of heaven. "Then I looked and heard the voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The 4 living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." He tells us right there that he has the scroll in his hand. He knows what's going to happen in our future, and we're going to face a lot of tough times. Many of us have already faced so many tough times in our life, and we've questioned sometimes, what has God got going on? Why doesn't he do something to stop this or that or change this? We're reminded that we don't know what's in the scroll, but we know whose hand the scroll is in. And we'll see the 7 seals open when we start next week. And we'll see that God, no matter what happens, He is in control and He has a plan for each one of our lives. Why? Because He purchased us. He paid the price. He holds the title on your soul. For those of us that have a mortgage, we haven't paid it off yet, somebody else really owns my house. I can say I own my house, but they're holding the paper on it. And I make a payment each month. I make a little extra payment every now and then to make myself feel good that I'm accomplishing a little bit quicker. But they still hold the title on my property. Jesus holds the title to our soul, and what He asked for us to do is to put our faith and our belief in Him totally, to have our title then experienced, be co-heirs with Him. But what's the significance of all this? God on the throne, Jesus holding the scroll in His hand, that He has purchased us to be His own and to make ourselves priests and a kingdom to serve Him. The significance is that our lives are meant to give to praise to Him now in preparation to worship Him then. And how do we do that? Each and every day we just say, thank you, God, use me the way that you want me to be used. Go where you want me to go. Change the things in my life that need to be changed. And thank you again for the privilege of one day, what I'm reading, to experience it in person. I hear it many times because I've done a lot of funerals in the last 3.5 years. Lots. And I will hear people say, Uncle Billy, Uncle Joe, man, they're up there, they're playing pitch, they're playing golf again, you know, they're fishing together, they're out hunting together. I think we will know familiar people from our lives, family members. I think there's enough proof in Scripture to remind us that. I think that will happen. But I can guarantee you one thing. When we get to heaven, we are not going to be thinking about the things of earth. We're not going to be thinking about the first tee box at California Country Club. We're not going to be thinking about your favorite fishing hole at the Lake of the Ozarks. You're not going to be thinking about your favorite sunset or visiting whatever park you want to be. What God does here is prepare. What we see, the beauty that we see here, it's a reminder of the beauty that He's created here and the beauty that we're going to be seeing when we get there. Because when we get there in the presence of God, we're going to be overwhelmed by His majesty, His beauty, His power, His love, and His mercy. It's going to overwhelm us. Even the elders that sit around the throne, they're there for eternity. What do they do every time when they see Jesus Himself? They fall down at His feet and worship. So if you don't like to worship right now, I wonder what heaven's going to be like for you. We've got a chance to worship God with every fiber of our being by the way that we live our lives. To sing our songs and sing them together and praise God for the great God that He is. And that when we give our prayers, they ascend to the very throne of God. We need to put that vision of God on His throne, surrounded by His angels, with Christ by His side, to remind us that He is in control. Why do I push you to read your Scripture regularly? Because as soon as you walk out this door, you're going to get a call, you're going to see a story, you're going to be reminded of some past failing in your life, something that gives you bitterness in your life. But then when you read chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, you remember, reminded to look up. The message to the churches last week is, I know your deeds, your hardships, and your persecutions. The message this week is to look up. He holds our futures in His hand. God is on the throne. The Holy Spirit is inside us to guide us and comfort us when the world seems overwhelming. One man said it this way, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The creativity of the unknown of it is each one of us has a different way of doing that. There's power in worship together, and there's power in worship individually in our daily lives. The question is, have you accepted God's offer through His Son for His blood, His death, for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you given Him the throne of power in your life? Have you taken your crown off and replaced it with His crown? Have you transferred your ownership to His ownership? Have you realized that you have been made and created for worship and that your prayers go to the very presence of God Himself on His throne. Is there something on your heart this morning that before you can look up that you got to take care of yourself around you? Have you made that confession of faith? Experienced the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit? Experienced the waters of baptism and the Holy Spirit living inside your life? It's time to get rid of that bitterness, that brokenness, and that pride. It's time to do some business with God today and be reminded of His greatness.